come together to remember before God the life of Mary Elizabeth, to commend her to God's keeping, and to comfort those who mourn with our sympathy and with our love, in the hope we share through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. Hear the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I am the resurrection and the life. Even in death, anyone who believes in me will live. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Therefore, although we have been parted from Mary Elizabeth, none of us need ever be separated from the love of God. Let us pray. God, our Comforter, you are a refuge and a strength for us, a helper close at hand in times of distress. Help us so to hear the words of our faith that our fear is dispelled, our loneliness eased, and our hope reawakened. May your Holy Spirit lift us above our natural sorrow to the peace and
from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you. courageously proclaim your good news. Amen.
Creator, Redeemer, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Am I right that this mic here is not working correctly? Okay. Right, well, I'm going to put it over here so that it can get fixed. But you can hear me because I've got this one. So I would like to welcome all of you here today for this celebration of the life of Mary Elizabeth, and particularly welcome all of her family. It's good to have you here today. In 2007, I had the opportunity to go to Dar es Salaam to report on the meeting of the Archbishops of the Anglican Communion. But our dog, Alice, had lived for several months with a debilitating illness. And my spouse was afraid that if I left, our dog Alice would die. Sure enough, as soon as I had my bags packed and was out the door, and before really I was even in New York, Alice turned her head to the wall and refused to eat. We knew that we had to euthanize her, but by that time I was in Africa. So we called a friend to be with Jill and with Alice when the vet came. And that friend was Mary Elizabeth. Because Mary Elizabeth was someone you wanted to have with you when your sweetheart was continents away and your beloved dog was dying. Mary Elizabeth had an ability to be with people just where they were without expecting them to be anything else but who they were. She had a tremendous ability to love both people and critters. In recent years, many of us have been planting milkweed and eagerly watching monarch butterflies grow from egg to caterpillar to cocoon and hopefully to beautiful butterfly. Mary Elizabeth took this task on in a typically determined and grand way. She read up everything there was to read about monarch butterflies and discovered all the perils that await young monarchs from birds, bugs, and parasites. So Mary Elizabeth turned her home into a mini monarch nursery. Monarchs in their various stages of development lived in different boxes and containers all across her dining room table. In the wild, only about 1 or 2% of monarch eggs become butterflies. Mary Elizabeth beat those odds. She watched over her monarchs until they were ready to go out into the world on their own. And she even had a convalescent facility for those whose wings had failed to develop fully. In fact, her last announcement from this lectern was a request for donations of milkweed to feed her last butterflies. Mary Elizabeth believed in beating the odds. As we have heard, or as we will hear, I'm sorry, we will hear soon, when she took over the Santa Maria Urban Ministry in San Jose, it had just moved to a new location, but it was little more than a place for people to give out handouts of food and clothing. Mary Elizabeth saw the possibilities in the lives of those who came and turned the mission into a place where those who served might also serve, a place where young children can get a head start in life, and where Spanish speakers can learn English and the cultural skills they need to flourish in this society. When she came here to St. Benedict's as our second rector, this building was not here. We were meeting in the community center and we were in disarray. In fact, we were at each other's throats. But Mary Elizabeth believed in the possibility of healing. She promised to love us, and love us she did, with great determination. And against great odds, we, like the monarchs, flourished and grew. Bringing this building from Camp Roberts was a bold move. It was also an expensive one. And for a while, it didn't look as though St. Benedict's would survive the financial strain. But Mary Elizabeth did not give up. Even when the diocese declared that St. Benedict's was unsustainable and should close, she prayed and looked for a way forward. She did not give up. Mary Elizabeth simply did not give up. In 2005, she decided that it would be best for her and for the congregation for her to take early disability retirement. But she continued to be fully involved in the life of the church, especially bringing us together through community and social activities, games nights, movie nights, and lunches together. As the decades of living with rheumatoid arthritis began to take a serious toll on her body, Mary Elizabeth kept going through every setback with determination and cheerfulness. She regularly shared her understandings of the God who walks beside us in our difficulties. She shared those understandings with members of the healing ministry team and with all of us in her sermons and in her personal conversations. She talked of God as both our companion on the journey and our journey's end. She became for us a symbol of perseverance and inspiration. As JW, who lives with chronic pain, says, I'd look at her and think, if she can do it, I can. In her final sermon, Mary Elizabeth talked about process theology and said, rather than God deciding our fate, God is constantly, continuously interacting with each of us to offer us options that would help us fulfill our potential, that would be life-giving, not just for ourselves, but for all. And when God has offered you the options for your life, depending on what you decide, you either expand those possibilities or you limit them further. Because God doesn't go against our free will. God takes that into consideration. And God is changed by us, by each of us and our decisions. Mary Elizabeth was a woman who changed God. And she changed us. Her legacy lives in us. Mary Elizabeth made choices that were life-giving, even as her choices became constrained by her physical frame. She chose, in the words of Isaiah that we heard earlier, a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. And I think, again, quoting that passage of Isaiah, that we may truly call her an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. Today we have gathered both to honor Mary Elizabeth's memory and to give her to God. For many years we have cared for her, even as she has cared for us. For her beloved husband John, her children Matthew and Laura, and her sister Margaret, this caring has been intense at times. Today we turn that caring over to God. It is time to put Mary Elizabeth where she already is and always has been, firmly in the care of God, the Eternal One, her companion on the journey and her journey's end. We put her today into God's care, knowing that death is not the end, but that she will rise again. Today, and whenever we gather together around the table in the Eucharist, we know that we are worshiping with the angels and with the communion of saints, those who have gone before us. As we share the bread and wine, symbols of the deep mysteries of our faith, we can be sure that Mary Elizabeth is especially present here with us, as are all the saints of this congregation and beyond. And so today, as we share our memories and stories, we are starting the process of remembering, of putting back together Mary Elizabeth in our hearts, where she will live into eternity. And so I'm going to invite now those who wish to share a few words with us about your memories and about what Mary Elizabeth means to you. As there are many of us here, I would ask that you would keep it brief. And we're going to bring up the lectern and the other microphone. So if you'd like to speak, if you would go to those and stand behind the person in front of you. Yeah, we hope it's working now. So I would invite you, if you would like to say a few words about Mary Elizabeth, to come up to one of the microphones and share with us.
As a new Episcopalian in 1990, my husband Jim and I went to St. Thomas Sunnyvale and met a group of amazing people who will live forever in our hearts. And Mary Elizabeth was one of them. And having come from a tradition where women certainly didn't have clergy roles, you know, to have one of my co-parishioners enter the process of becoming an ordained priest was amazing. And the word that came to mind as I think about Mary Elizabeth is really, Carol, so much of what you said. Fortitude and determination. This was one determined woman. And I had the joy of witnessing that through the years at St. Thomas, and then we left in 1997, but then were able to come and celebrate her installation as rector in the this congregation. And now that we've moved here, you know, we have the joy of being a part of this congregation that she was such a part of building into the loving, embracing, and welcoming place that St. Benedict's is. When I looked at the picture of Mary Elizabeth in the diocesan newsletter announcing, you know, her obituary picture, it's also out here on the bulletin board. And what I love about it is there's just a trace of this wonderful, impish grin that was also a part of this woman of great love and fortitude. You know, she'd get that look, and you knew something delightful was coming.
See if this works. It does, thank goodness. I had to write this down. And I'll read most of it to you. Caroline called me the day that Mary Elizabeth's soul passed out of her body. That evening, I was delighted when Mary Elizabeth came to see me. As she stood before me, she was whole, strong, healthy, vibrant, which she referred to as her new animated digits. She was wearing a very bright red plaid dress, and as she stood there, that attention-getting, very wide-brimmed red hat that many of us know kept appearing on her head, then disappearing, on and off, over and over again. My thought was that she was deciding whether or not to wear it with a red dress. I called Caroline to let her know that all was well with the first stages of Mary Elizabeth's journey back home. Mary Elizabeth remained in my visual field for a couple of days, and then left. It was last night, while Caroline and I were speaking on the phone, that Mary Elizabeth began to ease back into my field of vision. We communed, Mary Elizabeth and I. We held a space together. And we commiserated in a silent way. This morning, as soon as I awakened, there she was again, only bolder. And I think that knowing this celebration of life was going to take place, it increased her ability to be present. Mary Elizabeth then made it known to me that she wanted some of her words spoken, not just mine. So it's life according to Vandy and life according to Mary Elizabeth. I quote, "In the evening of the day that I left my body behind, I visited Vandy. Knowing that Vandria could see me, I thought to elicit her aid before I made this all-important journey back to my father's house. She did what she does with the beginning of such journeys. But I then learned that not all of us have every skill, and Vandria, although she has some important skills, is lacking in others. I stood before her in a red plaid dress I had chosen for the occasion. And as a woman, as women usually do prior to important events, we seek out one of our sisters to aid us with our ensemble. We need to know all sorts of things that aren't apparent to men. Is this appropriate for the occasion? Does the color suit my complexion? What do I wear with it? What kind of impression is it going to make? And in any case, because I love color, is this outfit too loud? Is it over the top and too much for where I'm going? So there he stood in front of Vandery in what I thought as a very radiant outfit, trying to decide if I should wear my red hat. But Vandria just sat there smiling joyfully. She said nothing. Despite my long wait, she sat and said nothing. Here I am, on the brink of the most important experience of a person's entire existence, and Vandria just sits there. She was useless, absolutely useless. So, eventually I just left. You know, I really should have known better. Just when have you seen Vandria without her traditional turquoise Romana shawl on? So, of course, she didn't have a clue. I understood. She's monochromatic. She's probably tone deaf to color. Well, last night, while Caroline and Vandria were talking on the phone, I once again visited Vandria, and we abided with each other in each other's presence, communed, and eventually she went to bed. This morning, I was waiting when she got up, and surprise of surprises, she pulled herself together. She looked me straight in the eyes, and I quote, she said, "Mary Elizabeth, nothing is too much for God, not even your red hat. And anything less wouldn't be you. Actually, it would be a living lie. So go for it." She got it. Vandria got it. One must never shrink from who they are. I could have kissed her, but that wasn't possible. But I did take the liberty of calling her on her own words. "If you, my dear friends and family, never learned anything else from me, remember the colorful wardrobe I wore all those years while I was with you. A constant reminder of what I said to Vandria then and what I'm telling you now. Never shrink away from the greatness within you. Never be afraid to fly your flag." And so taking my leave, she made me do this. And under the turquoise covering of her shawl, Vandria's wearing red for me today. Hold your hands up, Vandria.
Yes, Mary Elizabeth, there you go.
All right. I feel joy today. And now will you do something for me? You can't see me, but I can see you. Know that in this time of my wonderful deliverance, it is also my time of great triumph. Take a moment to visualize the current me that Vandria is able to see. Visualize me standing on my own before you, straight, tall, and strong, in an extraordinary and colorful outfit. And in affirmation of my triumph, envision that I will count to three, and I want you to raise your fist and say, "Yes." 1, 2, 3. Yes. One last thing before I finish. This is Mary Elizabeth speaking. I want to thank you for the deep and abiding conviction, faith, and effort you put into the congregation and sustaining it over the years. Thank you for allowing me to continue to inspire you, guide you, teach you, and pray for you, to learn from you, and to become your friend. Thank you for your increasing love and support of me, and my family, and my ministry, and my life. You have allowed me to love you and your families for many years. I love you now. I loved you when I was in the body. So, of course, I'm going to love you forever where I am now. I ask just one thing of you, that you be as joyful as I am for my triumph. God bless you.
Elizabeth here in this church. And I just wanted to say a very brief thing that I think it's a wonderful celebration that what she helped to plan and create here at St. Benedict's is very much the responsibility and the work of three women. Judy Stevens is here, the first priest about 25 years ago when I started coming. Of course, Carol is here, and Mary Elizabeth is the bridge between those two phases of our community life here. And so I feel, since I've been here for all these years, and I've gotten older with the church and older with the community, I wanted to say how much, with much support, of course, that these three women have given to this community, especially with their sermons. And that's one reason I keep coming here, is because of the sermons. And I have to say, especially to her family, the last 2 years I attended and saw Mary Elizabeth and listened to Mary Elizabeth preach, I could not get a single thought that kept pushing into my mind, no matter what she was saying. It is not the words. The sermon Mary Elizabeth is preaching is herself.
Mary Elizabeth from the church here, and I gotta say she's very, very inspirational to me. I would see her and John and Laura come up that ramp all the time, every Sunday, with a smile on her face. And I just kept saying, well, she's a very, very strong and amazing woman. To what she goes through every day. And it just really warmed my heart to see her here. And I truly miss her. Thank you.
I spoke with Mary Elizabeth maybe 3-4 times. And the thing that I really got away from is her love of the Spanish language. Every time she grabbed me, it was exhausting because she wanted to speak Spanish. She wanted to just be Spanish. And I can see why she loved you so much. And she extended a wish to be friends. And
have been sitting back there wondering if I should actually get up and tell this story, because because it's probably not one I should be telling, but I'm going to tell it anyways. Before this church was finished, it was just a raw inside building, and we're facing that way. And we had just the altar, it was just real crude in here, you know, just makeshift. I had gone out the night before, something I hadn't done in many years, and I was paying for it the next day, which was Sunday, and I was limp that morning. And I think she kind of knew that I wasn't feeling all that great. And after communion, she said, "Here, will you finish this wine for me?" I couldn't say no. No, because I'm hungover. So I drank it, plugged my nose, and I drank it, and I've never done that since. Because I think God was punishing me, and I think Mary Elizabeth knew in the back of her head I wasn't feeling all that great. So I've been debating on telling that story, but I had to tell it because I still remember it. I think Sarah is the only one that knew I wasn't feeling good that day. But I think Mary Elizabeth in the back of her head knew, too. She always had that sneaky way of getting to you.
The impact on my life has been pretty amazing because they made it possible for the circumstances for me to meet their son. And I just want to say thank you. And I love you.
In my life way too short a time, and I'm struggling with that. I come from Wisconsin most recently, and we had that in common. And Mary Elizabeth was my sunshine. And every time I saw her, I had to come up to her and say, "Good morning, sunshine." Mary Elizabeth loved my whoopee-oles, red-ish, so I'm honoring her today with my green, my red, and all of my Guatemalan paraphernalia. I miss you terribly, sunshine.
I didn't know Mary Elizabeth as Mary Elizabeth. I knew her as Mama Horsley. Me and Matt and Laura grew up together since we were little kids. Matter of fact, until about 15 years ago, I didn't even know her first name. So it was Mama. And that's the truth. One thing I always remember about Mama Horsley was the fact that she was so caring and so giving and non-judgmental. And me and Matt used to get in a lot of trouble when we were kids. But she never judged us, and she always forgave us. I last saw Mama Horsley about 2 years ago. He came up for his birthday. And we did a little trick with him, and dropped the kids off, and I stopped by the house and saw Mama Horsley. We've grown up, and we've gone on to do some things in our lives. And she looked at me, and she said, sitting in her living room, nice sun coming through, she says, "You know, we never really thought you guys would have turned out the way you did." And I said, "Yeah, I know." She says, "But, you know, God had a way of providing, and God had a way of making sure we did." But she always told me, she said she was so proud of Matt, Laura, my myself. And I'll always remember Mama Horsley for always being so supportive and so loving, even after all the crazy stuff we did as kids. I will miss her.
Retired from St. Thomas, where I served with Mary Elizabeth for a number of years, hoping I can hold this together to say what I want to say. What a special person she was. What grace and dignity she had when she presided, when she preached, when she administered communion, when she officiated as a healing minister, when she did pastoral care. The people of St. Thomas were greatly blessed by her presence and her ministry, her courage and her witness, and I feel honored and blessed to have worked with her.
I'm Jeff Deal, and it's my honor to bring some words from the board of directors at the Santa Maria Urban Ministry. To John and all the members of the family, the board of directors, and the community of Santa Maria Urban Ministry extend to you our sincere condolences on your loss of Mary Elizabeth. There are two members of the current board who were volunteering at Santa Maria when Mary Elizabeth was the executive director, and are sincerely sorry that neither could be in attendance at this memorial service. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and with all of those who are mourning the loss of Mary Elizabeth. The Reverend Mary Elizabeth Pratt Horsley was the executive director of Santa Maria Urban Ministry from 1995 to 2000, right after she was ordained to the priesthood, and the years before she became rector of St. Benedict's in Los Osos. Santa Maria is a social service agency which is situated in downtown San Jose in an area that is filled with apartments inhabited mostly by immigrants, many who are undocumented. It is a lower socioeconomic area, and gang violence is not uncommon. When Mary Elizabeth became the executive director, Santa Maria had only recently moved to this location, taking over a former carpet store facility, the garage of which made a perfect place for lots of shelving for our food distribution program. It was under the leadership of Mary Elizabeth that this building became more than just a place to give out handouts of food and clothing to the needy. The mission statement was written to meet immediate needs and provide long-term transformation. Santa Maria became a center in this very rough neighborhood for nurturing, for caring, for welcoming people of all ages, ethnicities, and faith. Mary Elizabeth started a free preschool program to prepare the neighborhood children for kindergarten. She planted the seeds for our after-school program, which took a few more years to develop, with a state-of-the-art computer lab. She taught English classes for Spanish speakers and Spanish for English speakers. Her life experience enabled her to share her cultural understanding of the people coming to Santa Maria for services. And most importantly, she understood how eager many of the people who were served by Santa Maria wanted to also be able to give back by becoming dedicated volunteers. It was Mary Elizabeth that put in place the program that is still important to the ministry today and what makes it unique from other surrounding social service agencies, involving the community it serves in the work that the ministry is doing, respecting the dignity and recognizing the face of Jesus in each of our clients was modeled by her and required of all who are associated in any way with the ministry. Today, Santa Maria Urban Ministry is a thriving, well-run agency supporting so many people who are experiencing hunger, fear, uncertainty, and desiring for educational programs for themselves and their children. The legacy of the Reverend Mary Elizabeth Pratt Horsley lives on in the lives of so many people who have been and are continuing to be served by Santa Maria Urban Ministry. Thanks be to God.
I came to this church a little over a year ago, and shortly after, I received a broken heart. And I took my broken heart to Mary Elizabeth, and also one of the people here. And thanks to those two people, I decided to live and to let my heart mend. In seeing Mary Elizabeth every week at her home with John, and I can't think of Mary Elizabeth without John, because they're just, we're both there welcoming me. But my fondest memory is sitting over here and Mary Elizabeth over there, and I'd be sitting there with my broken heart, and she'd go. And so that's what I remember.
Congregation to bring forward some symbols to honor Mary Elizabeth's ministry amongst us.
In bringing this Bible, we remember and honor Mary Elizabeth, who is among us as one who proclaims the word.
This water, I remember and honor Mary Elizabeth, who helped me baptize in obedience to our Lord.
Amen.
In bringing this stole, we remember and honor Mary Elizabeth, who is among us as a pastor and priest.
Amen.
In bringing this oil, we remember and honor Mary Elizabeth, who is among us as a healer and reconciler.
Amen.
In bringing this hanging, we remember and honor Mary Elizabeth, who was among us as a quilter and a craftswoman.
Amen.
In bringing this book, movie, and game, we remember and honor Mary Elizabeth as one who brought us together for fun and community.
We bring this chalice and baton in remembrance that Mary Elizabeth was among us to break the bread and bless the cup.
Silence, let us make our personal thanksgiving to God for all that Mary Elizabeth has meant to us.